for reading that and coping with Melchizedek. Sadly, I'm not going to talk about Melchizedek. We're going to concentrate on Mark chapter 10. So if you turn in the service books to that reading from Mark chapter 10. Last week, there were headlines in the papers, "Who's going to save Christmas? There's a crisis. Will we have enough lorry drivers? Will we have enough toys in the shops? Will there be enough food on the shelves? Who's going to save Christmas?" And there just seemed to be such an irony that Christmas doesn't need saving. Christmas is about God sending Jesus to save us. God sending Jesus to save us. There's a key verse. It's the very last verse of today's reading, Mark 10, verse 45. And I learnt this verse when I think I was 18. All I can say, it's probably a bit late now, but when you're young, it's much easier to learn Bible verses, I've found, than when I've got older. But it's one of those verses that has stuck in my mind. And there is something to be said for learning Bible verses. So I learnt this verse off by heart. Mark 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." It comes in Mark chapter 10, and it's Jesus is with his disciples, and it's just after the third time he said to his disciples, "I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised to life again. My kingdom is coming." So I want to concentrate today on this passage from Mark 10, thinking about serving and giving and God's kingdom. We're going to look at what God's kingdom is not, and then what God's kingdom is, about Jesus coming to serve, Jesus coming to give. So what God's kingdom is not, Jesus comes to serve, he comes to give. So at the beginning of Mark 10, we've got James and John coming up to Jesus, and they basically say, "What do you want?" He says, "I want the top seat." It's a really sad, really, isn't it, to see these disciples jostling for the top position. They and Peter were like part of the inner three. Were they trying to steal a trick on Peter? I don't know. But if you look back in history, there's this long tradition of kings giving their allies, giving their friends, giving their families land, estates, titles, regions to rule. And so they were thinking about an earthly king. That's what an earthly king does. And so they come and say, "Give us that special place of glory to your left and to your right." They wanted Jesus, but without the cross. They wanted the glory without the suffering. They wanted the kudos, but without that hard grind. They wanted the fame without the following of Jesus. And so Jesus puts them right. Verse 39, Jesus says, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right and my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." The cup he's talking about is the cup of God's wrath, the baptism of suffering and death. And the irony of all this is that James and John, who wanted glory, they ended up suffering. We're told in Acts chapter 12 that James gets beheaded. We're told in Revelation 1 that John ends up suffering and being exiled to this really small island of Patmos. And the other 10 disciples get really indignant and jealous, whether because of James and John going first, whether because they hadn't thought about asking for the glory themselves, but they're jealous. And so Jesus ends up teaching more about his kingdom. God's kingdom is not a place for self-aggrandizement. It's not a place where we go around saying, I am more important than you, I have a better seat at the table than you, I have top billing. The kingdom is not like that. We cannot have Jesus without the cross. If we want the glory, we'll need to go through the suffering. We'll need to go along that path of suffering. So it's just a start to get us thinking. This is what God's kingdom is not. It's not a place where we jostle for position, where we look for all the glory without realizing there's going to be suffering along the way. But what God's kingdom is a place of serving and a place of giving. Verse 43 and 44. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. We're called to be servants. We're called to serve others, to live lives of service to God, to others. This last week we mourned the death of Sir David Amis, who gave a whole life of service to his constituents. And for him, service meant just going along to the local Methodist church to meet his constituents. Service can often simply mean talking to people, moving chairs, washing up, visiting people, helping with the kids' work, helping with the youth work. I'm going to take a break now, and I'm going to invite Sophie to come up to the front. Sophie and Elliot, job share, really important job of being our youth pastor here at Christchurch. They have a little son called Jericho, who is very gorgeous. And Sophie is going to say a little bit about what happens with the youth work here at Christchurch. And in particular, are there any particular things where help is needed to serve or help is needed to particularly pray specifically? So Sophie, tell us what's going on.
Hello. So I have the absolute privilege of working with the young people of Christchurch, and as Janet was saying, that it's a wonderful task, but there's suffering involved, because when you love people, you suffer. That's what happens. But it is a wonderful, wonderful ministry to be part of. And what happens with our youth is that we have several things that happen through the week. So on a Sunday morning, our younger age group meet together, and then on a Friday evening, our older age group meet together. And then also throughout the week, we run small groups, which we call clusters, for our young people, where they can get together for an hour with a couple of leaders and talk about the Bible, pray together, and have time to disciple one another. We also do one-to-one mentoring with our young people. So for some of our youth who want to have support, extra support, then we meet with them on a regular basis to talk through life's issues, to encourage them, to pray with them, and to disciple them. And I guess today I am here because we're in need of team of volunteers to help us with our youth ministry. And I guess I want to say to you guys that you may not consider yourselves as a youth worker, you may not consider yourselves someone who has ever thought about working with young people, but to work with young people, you don't need to be this really young, hip person. All you need is to love people and to want to encourage them in their faith and in their walk with Jesus. And the areas that we need help especially are in our midweek cluster groups. So those are our small groups that run throughout the week. They're about an hour a week. And we would just love for our young people to be discipled by older people in the church. And I would love you to consider if that's something you could do, if you could give an hour a week to our young people to encourage them, to pray with them, to study the Bible with them, then that could be a way that Jesus is calling you to serve in this time.
Don't go. Don't go. Yeah, thanks. Just say I have never been hip or cool ever in my life anyway, but I do like people there. Thanks. Okay, could you just say a bit more? So when you say an hour a week, is it meeting here? Is it meeting in people's homes? And we assume young people are at school. So just what time, what days are you looking for? Yeah, thanks.
So it's flexible where we meet. Some of our groups meet online, so on a Zoom call. Some of them may meet in a cafe, some of them meet here, some of them meet at home. So it's basically very flexible with what works for the group and for the leader. Also, some of our groups meet after school, so that might be around a 4:30-ish kind of time, or some of our small groups meet in the evening, so around 7:30. So it's basically flexible with whatever works for the group. So there's no set set times.
Okay. Thanks, Sophie. And finally, if we're interested in finding out more, are you going to be around afterwards?
Yes, so I'll be around afterwards while we're, just having some time together. So please come and find me. Even if you're just not sure and you just want to find out a bit more, then please come and have a chat with me.
Thanks. Thank you so much, Sophie. That's just such a good example of how we can serve. I feel really encouraged that the youth team have come to me as leader of the midweek and said, there's no age barrier. Anyone from the midweek can do this too. We do not have to be young, hip and cool. That's what Sophie actually wrote to me. She said, people don't have to be cool and hip. All they need is people to want to encourage, disciple and love our young people. Thank you for that. That's a really practical example of how we can serve. We're called to serve. I could get Lizette up, but we all know Lizette. We can chat to her afterwards. Are there other ways we can serve at midweek? Chat to Lizette. We're always looking for people to welcome people on the door, helping with tea and coffee, chatting to people, occasionally giving lifts so that people can come to the midweek gathering there. Helping Maya with the lunch next week. I'm sure Maya might appreciate one or two more offers of help there. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. Kingdom of God involves service. Let's look at that verse I learnt again, verse 45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This is one of the very first, earliest, explicit statements of the purpose of Jesus' coming. This is why he came, to serve, to give up his life as a ransom. A ransom. A ransom is a price you have to pay for the release of somebody. And Jesus gave up his life in exchange for our salvation. The price that needed to be paid for our sins and punishment. Jesus paid that price. And it says, for many, one man died, but many are saved. He died for you, for you, for you, for you, for me. Giving involves sacrifice. When we're giving up time, we're giving up what are the other things I could do with that time. When we give money, we're giving up our options for other things we could spend money on. When we give up control of our lives, we're handing it over to God to direct us. And this month, we're particularly looking at generosity as a church, and we're looking again at how we can give in terms of service, for example, to the youth, how we can give in terms of money. When was the last time we increased our giving? Weekly, monthly, direct debit. When did we last increase it? Giving involves time, but it also involves money. Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So we've looked at what the kingdom of God is not. It's not a place where people jostle for positions to be on the right and left of Jesus. We looked at the wrong thinking of James and John. We've looked at the two things the kingdom of God involves, serving and giving. And I've made some suggestions about how we can serve practically and how we can give of money and time. So as I finish now, and before we have our final hymn, let's reflect on what we can do in response to what God is saying to us. I was very struck when we sang that song earlier. Your Majesty, I can but bow. I lay my all before you now. In royal robes I don't deserve. I live to serve your Majesty. So let's be quiet now, and then I will close in prayer. Lord Jesus, as we reflect on your suffering, on your death on the cross, and your rising again, as we reflect on the fact you came to serve and to give, I pray for each one of us now that you will show us what we practically can do to serve and to give. In the name of Jesus, amen. Do have a chat afterwards with Sophie, even if you just want to encourage her and Elliot in what they're doing. Do have a chat to Lizette too about ways of serving at the midweek. And let's stand together and sing, Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing, Christ over all, our undivided aim. So please stand and let's put our masks back on.